This morning, we still want to expose the devil.
Amen.
We are still wanting to help us that we are not going to be ignorant of his devices.
Yes.
It's very important.
Yes.
Probably more so now than in any other generation.
Yes.
So the title that we have for the thoughts this morning is Discerning Voices or Impressions. I made a statement in the last message that said, our eternal destiny may rest on how well we learn to fight. And I believe that it will become more and more vital and important as the days go by. From some of the things that different ones of you have said and the kind of battles that you face, the things that are opposing us and causing our minds. Remember, that's one thing we said, that the battle is in the mind. That's the battlefield, is in the mind. So I'm going to say that in connection with that statement, that our eternal destiny may rest on how well we may discern the voice of the devil. And I believe God is able to help us. I also said last time that God is very interested that his people be fully equipped and prepared for the current day warfare. The battles that you and I faced in the past, we thought they were intense battles. And I don't want to discourage us in any way, but you're going to face some that's even more so as time goes on, as the day is approaching. So I'm going to give you some definitions for discernment. Did you know discernment is very important?
Yes.
We probably don't think about discernment or the word or the definition every day, but we need it.
Yes.
Discernment is the ability to judge well. Discernment is often thought of as knowing right from wrong. And it is that. But there is another definition that really caught my attention. It really seemed like it was just a little step, a higher level of discernment. And this is what it said. It said it's the perception in the absence of obvious judgment and yet obtaining guidance and understanding. I'm going to read it again. It's the perception in the absence of judgment, obvious judgment. We're not always going to have obvious judgment, but we are relying on the Spirit of the Lord to give us that perception. It's a spiritual perception, and the truth is that all judgments will not be clear. It will not be readily there, but the perception that is used for this definition is spiritual perception. And spiritual perception and discernment is vital to the child of God. So I've read this statement and I wanted to share it with you.
What's the rest of it? You're going to repeat that. And what? And yet.
Just a second, let me pull it back up here. It's the perception in the absence of obvious judgment and yet obtaining guidance and understanding. This statement says, a question was asked, is discernment knowing right from wrong? And that is most certainly one of the results. But more importantly, it is knowing the difference between right and almost right. Now we're taking it to a different level. You see, the enemy, and we've already spoken of some of his wily ways, he can almost appear as an angel of light until I test the spirit.
Yes.
It can be almost right, but God is desiring his people to have a spirit of discernment.
Yes.
That the devil can't, what is his purpose? He's a deceiver. He will deceive even the very elect, and we've said that in these series of messages that you and I are the target. The whole world is the target, but you and I are especially targets of the enemy, and he wants to do what? Blind my mind. Blind my spiritual eyes. So this is so important that you and I know the difference between right and almost right, and that's what we want to talk about in this little thought today. The psalmist said this, and I feel like that it's important for us to get a hold of this. It's a simple verse. Psalms 27 and 11, it says, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path. But it didn't end there. It said, because of my enemies. And it wasn't just one enemy. You and I face many enemies that will be a contest to our success. Whether we make heaven or not, our eternal destiny is going to possibly weigh heavily upon the fact whether I have discernment of the voices that are being spoken in my ears. We know that Satan is one enemy. We're not ignorant of all of his devices. We're aware that he wants to deceive and confuse our spiritual perception. But if we are sanctified and filled with the Spirit of God, praise God, our spiritual discernment will lead us in a plain path. God is one that leads in plain ways. He's not going to have a voice that'll tell you one thing and he'll do another. His voice is going to be plain. And the path that he is leading us on, we'll be able to know the right way. And there is a scripture that says that there was a highway, and it said the wayfaring man would not err thereon or therein. It was plain. Those that seemed to be not well learned, those that might be a little bit on the ignorant side, God has a way of leading even those.
Amen.
So the scripture warns us, this is familiar, that there are ways that seem right.
Yes.
But the end of the ways are of death. And you and I have probably heard messages and down through our life and called the seem right way. Those will always be a part of your battle. Is, Lord, help me to have the discernment of that which is right and that which is almost right and know the difference. So as we were thinking of this, we said, well, maybe not every seem right way would lead to death. But yet there are consequences. Even if it's not going to lead to death, there's a price that is paid by not understanding the difference between a way that was almost right. And I thought of Abraham and Sarah and how that they waited so long for the promise. And they believed in the promise. But in their judgment, they felt like it had gone too long and that it was now impossible. And so they took the matter into their own hand that seemed right.
Yes.
It was almost right, but it was not right. There were consequences.
Yes.
It didn't go into this place of spiritual death. God didn't cut them off and say, well, now you've made a mistake that cannot be recovered. God used what they did and caused it to still work to some degree, but it was always a thorn. So in those things that you and I may feel like we hear this voice and we have thought it sounded so good and we said, this just seems real right, I'm going to give you some pointers of how to work with those things that seem right, that I would know the difference between that which is right and almost right. There was another example, and it was another generation down, and it was when Rebecca wanted Jacob to deceive Isaac. She knew what God said, that the promise was going to be through Jacob. And she thought she had to do something to make it happen. And in both of these examples, do you know what was lacking? It was a waiting on God. Waiting until God brought the promise for Jacob. Could God have done that?
Yes.
Could God have, when Sarah approached Abraham and said, I've got this plan, it's too late. And I think that in reality, Abraham tried to help her to see that they needed to wait a little longer. But it was the human thinking, it just didn't seem like the right way.
Yes.
And so they took it in another way. What were the consequences of Rebecca? They paid a high price.
Yes, yes.
For years, he ran for his life, but he didn't get to see his mother in this lifetime. She died. That's a consequence. But God turned it. God can work with our errors. Can he? Can he turn that which seems to harm into everlasting good? That's our hope. We have a hope that God is able to help us when we get sidetracked. Oh, keep your hope bright, even when the enemy comes in like a flood and he begins to remember what he is. He's an accuser of the brethren. Don't you know that they might have felt accusations after they made their choices? Lord, help us. This word discern is it's actually a Greek word that means to separate. When we discern the right and we understand the difference between what is right and almost right, there will be a separation. You will choose what is right. When you have an understanding through the Spirit, the discernment, the enlightenment the way that the Spirit of the Lord will communicate. Get acquainted with the voice of the Lord. Get acquainted with the voice of the Spirit. If we're, doesn't this word say that, we always say, well, it's a still small voice. I want to tell you, we can hear a still small voice. And another thing that Jesus said, he said, my sheep know my voice. But it takes sometimes experiences, and I'm going to say a little practice, because the Spirit of the Lord is not one that just throws it out there and leaves you with it. He has a way of helping you to have confirmation of the right voice and have the discernment. I really believe that God is wanting to fully equip us in this day. So when I thought on these things, I had to go to the scripture in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, which speaks of the gifts of the Spirit. Can you have a gift? Can I have a gift? Well, in the 31st verse of that same chapter, it says, covet earnestly the best gifts. You know, God is against covetousness of the wrong thing, but he encourages you and me to covet some things. And there's not this is not the only thing he says for us to covet. One scripture says, covet to prophesy. You know, when I found that verse, it encouraged me. I can pursue to prophesy, to preach with all my heart and be in the will of God. But this says, covet earnestly the best gifts. And so I have to look back up at the gifts, and I'm not going to give them all. I'm just wanting to, for us to see that we need to covet the Spirit or the gift of discernment. Yes. It says, to one is given the Spirit, by the Spirit, the word of wisdom, and another knowledge, to another faith, and to another gifts of healing, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, and to another discerning of spirits. And it's all by the same Spirit. So if you've recognized that you may lack in this area, covet the gift of discernment. It will be for your protection. God is not desiring any of us to be ignorant and unlearned and incapable of discernment. Are there qualifications? If you desire and covet a gift of discernment, there is a qualification. God doesn't just give it because somebody wants it. He's going to be looking in the heart. He's going to be checking. Are you saved? Have your sins been washed under the blood? And you're seeking the things above? And you've not been satisfied to stay in just a justified state. You've been seeking God for sanctification, for being filled with His Spirit. Being filled with His Spirit is going to contribute to the spirit of discernment in your life. Yes. Many times people look at the spirit of discernment and they think, I'm to watch everybody else, and I'm to see where there's a misstep out here, and I'm to expose it. That's not the purpose of discernment. The purpose of discernment is for your protection, personal protection. This discernment is so valuable to the people of God, and it is a great benefit, and it is definitely not for reputation. In other words, God forbid that anyone would say, oh, that person has a spirit of discernment. No, it's for your secret protection. Yes, the discernment can open our eyes to things among the church that is maybe not exactly right, but it's not our place. It has to be in God's time.
Yes, that's right.
He uses the right individuals to expose things that are harmful and damaging in the church of God. But as you see it with your spiritual eyes, it will cause you to hold steady, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. That's what the discernment will be for. 95% of the time, it will be for your own spiritual protection. So, I also want to speak just a little bit more about reputation. This is a gift. This gift is like pondering the things that you may see with your eyes or perceive or sense. You just have this feeling about this situation. Well, when we move slowly and we take the time, what are we? We're evaluating or we're considering the spirit of something, and we're thinking about it and praying about it. Don't ever leave off praying about a discernment that you have perceived. It's vital for you to learn to go before the Lord and say, Lord, I have this feeling about, we're going to be talking more about voices, but anything that you see among the church that might trouble you in your heart and in your mind, don't jump on it. Don't be active. Don't be hasty. So we're taking the time. And what does the Spirit say? We try the spirits. We don't just suddenly make a judgment on the spirits. It's waiting for the witness of the Holy Spirit for confirmation. That's one of the main things. So it is only then that you and I would be able to separate between what is right and something that is almost right. We never know how God is working behind the scenes in situations and in individuals, but prayer is always in order for those kind of things, taking it before the Lord in prayer. I remember a number of years ago, I was working here in the school and with Sister Patsy. And those of you that would remember a certain time in the church, and great conflict was happening and division, and we went to Monarch, and there were very disturbing things that were happening. And we came back home and we saw with our eyes the effects that this was having, not only on the people, but on the ministers. Sister Patsy Kane was working with me in the school, and we began to fast and pray for these kind of situations. We didn't go out and start spreading what we heard or saw or felt, but we told it to the Lord. We saw the Lord change that thing. Prayer is so vital when you discern something that is troubling. So always remember that. And there's a saying, I have it down here, haste makes waste. If we get ahead of the Lord, we often hinder him from working. If we get ahead of the Lord in our perceptions, if we get ahead of the Lord in our discernment, we will hinder the Spirit of the Lord in dealing and working with us. So don't be hasty. God generally works pretty slow. I'm thinking that I certainly would not want the reputation of being hasty in my judgments. Judgment is very important to all of us, but it's also very important that we judge righteous judgment. The word of the Lord tells us to not judge, but to judge fruit. But that isn't for me to go out and begin to expose. What I consider is something that is amiss in the fruit-bearing stage of anyone's life. Keep your eyes on yourself. Keep your eyes off of others and their failings and their missteps and whatever they do. Who are you going to answer for at the judgment? Everybody else? No, you're going to answer for yourself. So keep your eyes on yourself. And the judgment and the discernment and the perceptions, God will keep you in the midst of whatever it is. So we certainly don't want to have the kind of reputation that I acted hastily and out of order. We can get out of order of the Spirit by getting too hasty in our judgments. I'm saying that you and I will never be sorry if we have a true waiting on the voice of the Lord. And I again will say that God works a little bit slower than you and I would work sometimes. And it's safe to work or move slowly. So now I want to speak on the sounds of the voices. And we've already spoken about his still small voice. So oftentimes we think of Satan as a roaring lion. That's a voice. And we can identify that voice sometimes. Sometimes not. We will still need a discernment of the roaring of the lion. But most of the time, what you and I will be dealing with is a different sound of Satan's voice. And I spoke just a little bit ago that he's wily. He's devious, he's cunning, he's a manipulator, and he has tricks up his sleeve. And and I said earlier in this little discourse this morning that he wants to deceive even the very elect. Who is that? The people of God. And how does he do it? In exposing the voice of the devil, we may be a little handicapped in some ways until the Lord helps us to discern and perceive, wait a minute, that sound is not coming from God. And I begin to examine. There's one thing that I can look at and say, if this thing brings confusion, because the Bible says confusion is of the devil, that's a good sign that I can perceive this voice is from the enemy of my soul, because I'm feeling confusion. If I am feeling, there's in both of the voices, God's voice and the voice of the enemy, one will give you hope for recovery. If it's a voice that speaks of judgment in your life, if it's a voice that speaks of conviction. In other words, I've gone to the meeting, I've gone to camp meeting, I've heard a wide range of messages, and the Spirit of the Lord is working, and I feel conviction. That's not the devil. That is the voice of God that is working in us and through the Spirit to draw us closer to Him, that I will be purged and purified and cleansed of those things that will hinder me. In the Sunday school, it was spoken of some of the things that will hinder us, and they're things of everyday life, things that is all around us, things that as close as my telephone or on the computer. And I mean, the enemy is using so many avenues now to reach my spiritual life. And it takes the Spirit of the Lord to convict me. The devil is not going to convict you of something that you need to lay aside. The scripture says, lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. There are some things that are weights that will pull us down and draw us back and hinder. We may not give up, we may not backslide, but we won't be quite as progressive. But on the other hand, the enemy, the scripture says, he is an accuser of the brethren to the face of God day and night. That is a scripture. He is using any kind of thing he can identify in our life, in our thoughts, in our words, in our actions, in the way that we may feel about somebody, and the battle of maybe being hard to forgive somebody. The enemy will use that, and he'll accuse you before God. Look, and didn't he do that with Job?
Yes,
he accused Job. He said that Job was that God had a wall around Job, and he, why wouldn't he serve you? And then the word of the Lord tells us that God said, okay, I'm going to let you have Job for a little while. Oh, that's a whole nother message. Satan can afflict us. He can afflict us physically, and he can afflict us. And afflictions is not all sickness. It's the troubles that we come to in life. And what does the enemy do? He tries to make it look like a mountain.
Yes.
And when it could be a molehill in the sight of God.
Yes.
But he makes it so big that we feel almost in a panic. Do you ever feel in a panic?
Yes.
In your walk with the Lord? Are there times, and does it cause you to say, wait a minute, I discern this comes from the enemy? I've had to do that, and especially of late. And I've been using the scripture that says, submit yourself unto God. First, submit yourself unto God, and then resist the devil, and then he must flee. And you claim the promises. When you begin to feel that panic and the accusing of the enemy, and you just might as well give up now. Look what you've done. You've lost your joy. You've lost your peace. And you've lost your song. Sometimes we can lose our song. But it's the enemy. And we can have discernment of where it comes from. And we can take the tools, many tools, He wants us to be well equipped. And he's going to give us the tools to resist the devil. Thank the Lord. Praise God. I don't have to be under the accusations of the enemy and the oppression and the depression. He is an oppressor. He is an afflictor. Those may be names that are not necessarily in the word, but I can identify and I can call him what he is. I resist you in the name of the Lord, O afflictor. Our words are powerful if we have the Spirit of the Lord in our hearts, working in us and enlightening us and giving us that spirit of discernment that I can identify this voice. Did you know that Satan loves to use other voices? He's an imitator. And it says, I put down here, he is a master imitator of the voice of God. So now how can I possibly understand when here's a voice that is imitating the voice of God? God will help us. He's promised. Did you know that Satan loves to speak in your voice? You'll think those thoughts that are in your mind are your thoughts, and it sounds just like your voice. Stop.
Yes.
Examine. Try the spirit of it. Do I really feel this way? Ask yourself. Have a conversation with yourself. Say, no, I refuse to have those thoughts, and I give those thoughts back to God. I am not going to let the devil use my voice to communicate with me. Remember that the devil wants to use your voice. Now I'm going to give you two separate scriptures, but I'm going to combine them together to make a point. It's Ephesians 4 and 27 and 2 Corinthians 2 and 11. And it says, neither give place to the devil, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Now, here's two places. You have to first give place to the devil. You have to make room for him to use another voice. You've got to, and when we give a place for the enemy to work, that's when he will take advantage of us. And he will, we will become more ignorant. But God does not want us ignorant of his devices. So don't give room or a place for the enemy to take advantage. So that's very important. And so I have some thoughts now. As if we are of the nature to be hasty in our actions and decisions, and sometimes it's so hard to admit a fault like that. Nobody wants to have that reputation of being hasty and making a quick judgment and quick decisions. But I put down here, I said, take warning. If you recognize that you have that tendency, take warning. This is to me, as well as to all of you. Not every thought that enters your mind is to be acted on as though it came from God. Now we're moving past accusations, oppression, depression. We're moving past that now, and we're striving to please the Lord. We're doing all of the things that are right, and there's still voices. But not every thought that comes to your mind is from God. When you're in prayer meeting, Not every thought that comes to your mind is to be uttered in the congregation. Just because I had this thought that seemed so right, see, it's a seem right thing, I've got to go back to that definition of discerning or having understanding what is right and what is almost right. I must have the judgments of God on the thoughts that are going through my mind. This is how God works with his people. Otherwise, we will not be vessels unto honor. We will be vessels unto dishonor. Because it can be apparent if we're getting out of order. Okay? So, not every impression or even every inspiration comes from God. See how close this is? It's a higher level of discernment. It's waiting on the Spirit of the Lord to give confirmation. It's trying the spirits. It's waiting and praying. Oh, it's not all going to be right in prayer meeting. This is going to be in your whole life. And, oh, I just feel so impressed. Oh, I want to tell you, one of the greatest hindrances of the enemy is camp meeting when people feel impressions. Now, you all have heard of Brother Marty Clevenger, and he had a vision. He was in Monarch. And he saw, standing in front of every minister, an angel holding that minister back, if they didn't have the message. But behind every minister was an imp or a demon that was prodding. You see the war that's going on? The Spirit of the Lord is trying to keep the order of the service, everyone in the right order, and here is the enemy trying to push. Oh, God, you got a message, and it's a burning message, and you need to get up and do it right now. But Brother Marty saw in his vision that there was only one that had the message. Actually, he said he had the message. And it came time, and somebody else pressed past. It can happen. It's our humanity. Yes. But I want to tell you something. God wants his church to operate just in that order, led of the Spirit. Yes. Everything that we do and say, yes, should be led of the Spirit of God, and it will be anointed of the Spirit. What does that mean? We know what our vocabulary is. We look for anointing in the Word of the Lord, in the Spirit of the Lord, in the prayers, in the testimonies, in the songs. We can discern when it's anointed of the Spirit. So, we need to not give place to the devil where he would take advantage. We need to take warning. We need to understand that everything that comes to my mind is not from God. I need to wait on the Spirit of the Lord to confirm or disaffirm. And I've already quoted this one, believe not every spirit, beloved. Oh, he starts this out with the word beloved. You are loved. I am loved. If I am a child of God, and he wants us to be able to be successful in discerning the right spirits. And so it says that we're to discern every spirit and try the spirits whether they are of God. And it says many false prophets have gone out into the world. And I changed it now, and I said, beloved, believe not every voice, but try the voices whether they are of God. And then 1 Corinthians 14 and 10 says, there are so many kinds of voices in the world. That's just the core of that particular verse. So God has let us know that there's a lot of voices around. And I have... I'm going to give my testimony, though I feel shame. A number of years ago, working here in the congregation, I thought, see, I had an impression, had a voice, and I thought the Lord was leading us away from here to another place. Now, I'm going to tell you, I did not act hastily, and much prayer was prayed. I want to tell you, you still have to wait on the confirmation of the Spirit of the Lord. I could not utter the words to the congregation that we were resigning as the pastor. So I wrote letters. I wrote a letter to each family in the congregation, and I handed it to them as they left service that day. I was a coward. And I was telling them that we were resigning and so forth. It was an impression. And, after I handed out those letters, I was so heavy-hearted. And I went home and I was on my knees and I was wailing before the Lord. There was no other minister here at that time. And I cried and prayed and wept. And finally I said, Lord, I cannot leave those people until you give them another pastor. And when I said that, I got peace. And I came back that night, and everyone was saying how that they had wept in the afternoon and were so sad and everything. And I said, don't worry. I'm not leaving until you get a pastor. And it's never happened. Do you see what would have happened had I continued to act on my impression? The devil was trying to destroy. Oh, wait on the Lord. Don't be hasty. Don't act just because you had these thoughts come into your mind or this impression. And impressions are important. And the thoughts that God gives are important. And he may exactly want something to be said that's been impressed upon your heart, but wait for the confirmation. I'm going to say that it doesn't matter who you are in the church of God, the devil wants to push you into something. Be wise. Don't be ignorant of his devices. It doesn't matter if we're preachers or whatever we are. We're still subject to hearing a voice that is not God's voice. You know, we have so many things that the Word of God that can steady us. Godliness with contentment is what? Great gain. Oh, there's just so many things. If we look to the word of the Lord and we wait on the Lord, he can steady us. So I have a little admonition and I'm closing then. Sorry, I'm long-winded. This is my admonition that I think is from this message is, covet earnestly the gift of discernment. Wait patiently for a witness of the perception when there is no obvious judgment. And most importantly, wait to understand the difference between right and almost right. I believe if we all follow those admonitions from the message, we'll be safe.
Can you repeat it?
Okay. Covet earnestly the gift of discernment. Wait patiently for a witness of the perception when there is no obvious judgment. And most importantly, wait to understand the difference between right and almost right.
Yes.
So the Lord has ways to help us. Pray for me. I am subject to voices also. We all are. Let us pray for one another.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.